Well, that was nice, I thought, as I drove away. Not even thanks or goodbye, just a complaint and a promise to haul me away from my roast goose if necessary. A sudden wave of anger surged in me, bloody farmers. There were some miserable devils among them. Mr. Brown had doused my festive feelings as effectively as if he had thrown a bucket of water over me. As I mounted the steps of Scaledale House, the darkness had paled to a shivery grey. Mrs. Hall met me in the passage. She was carrying a tray. "I'm sorry," she said. "There's another urgent call. Mr. Farnan's had to go out too, but I've got a cup of coffee and some fried bread for you. Come in and sit down. You've got time to eat it before you go." I sighed. It was going to be just another day after all. "What's this about, Mrs. Hall?" I asked, sipping the coffee. "It's all Mr. Kirby," she replied. "He's in a right state about his nanny goat." "Nanny goat? Aye, says she's choking." "Choking? How the hell can she be choking?" I shouted. "I'm sure I don't know. And I wish you wouldn't shout at me, Miss Eldridge. It's not my fault." "No, I'm sorry, Mrs. Hall. I'm really sorry." I finished the coffee sheepishly. My feeling of goodwill was at a very low ebb. Mr. Kirby was a retired farmer, but he had sensibly taken a cottage with a bit of land where he had kept enough stock to occupy his time. A cow, a few pigs, and his beloved goats. He had always had his goats, even when he was running his dairy herd. He had a thing about them. The cottage was in a village high up the dale. Mr. Kirby met me at the gate. "Here, lad. I'm right sorry to be bothering you this early in the morning and Christmas and all, but I didn't have no choice. Dorothy's real bad." He led the way to a stone shed which had been converted into a row of pens. Behind the wire of one of them, a large white sun and goat peered out at us anxiously, and as I watched her, she gulped, gave a series of retching coughs, then stood trembling, saliva drooling from her mouth. The farmer turned to me wide-eyed. "You see, I had to get you out, didn't I? If I left her till tomorrow, she'd be a goner." "No, you're right, Mr. Kirby, you couldn't leave her. There's something in her throat." We went into the pen, and as the old man held the goat against the wall, I tried to open her mouth. She didn't like it very much, and as I prized her jaws apart, she startled me with a loud, long-drawn, human-sounding cry. It wasn't a big mouth, but I have a small hand, and as the sharp back teeth tried to nibble me, I poked a finger deep into the pharynx. There was something there, all right. I could just touch it, but I couldn't get hold of it. Then the animal began to throw her head about, and I had to come out. I stood there, saliva dripping from my hand, looking thoughtfully at Dorothy. After a few moments, I turned to the farmer. "You know, this is a bit baffling. I can feel something at the back of her throat, but it's soft, like cloth. I've been expecting to find a bit of twig or something sharp sticking in there. It's funny what a goat will pick up when she's pottering around outside, but if it's cloth, what the heck's holding it in there? Why hasn't she swallowed it down?" "Aye, it's a woman, isn't it?" The old man ran a gentle hand along the animal's back. "Do you think she'll get rid of it herself? Maybe it'll just slip down." "No, I don't. Well, it's stuck fast, God knows how, but it is. And I've got to get it out soon, because she's beginning to blow up. Look, here." I pointed to the goat's left side, bulged by the tympanitic rumen. And as I did so, Dorothy began another paroxysm of coughs which seemed almost to tear her apart. Mr. Kirby looked at me with a mute appeal, but just at that moment I didn't see what I could do. Then I opened the door of the pen. "I'm going to get my torch from the car. Maybe I can see something to explain this." The old man held the torch as I once more pulled the goat's mouth open and again heard the curious childlike wailing. It was when the animal was in full cry that I noticed something under the tongue. A thin, dark band. "I can see what's holding the thing now," I cried. "It's hooked round the tongue with string or something." Carefully, I pushed my forefinger under the band and began to pull. It wasn't string. It began to stretch as I pulled carefully at it, like elastic. Then it stopped stretching and I felt a real resistance. Whatever was in the throat was beginning to move. I kept up a gentle traction, and very slowly the mysterious obstruction came sliding up over the back of the tongue and into the mouth, and when it came within reach, I let go the elastic, grabbed the sodden mass, and hauled it forth. It seemed as if there was no end to it. A long snake of dripping material, nearly 2 feet long. But at last I had it out onto the straw of the pen. Mr. Kirby seized it and held it up, and as he unravelled the mass wonderingly, he gave a sudden cry.
God help us, it's me summer drawers.
Your what?
Me summer drawers. I don't like them long johns when weather gets warmer, and I allus change into these little shortins. Missus was having a clear out before the end of the year, and she didn't know whether to wash him or make him into dusties. She washed them at finish, and Dorothy must have got them off the line.
He held out the tattered shorts and regarded them ruefully.
By God, they've seen better days, but I reckon Dorothy's fettled them this time.
Then his body began to shake silently. A few low giggles escaped from him, and finally he gave a great shout of laughter. It was an infectious laugh, and I joined in as I watched him. He went on for quite a long time, and when he'd finished, he was leaning weakly against the wire netting.
My poor Howard Drawers, he gasped, then leant over and patted the goat's head. But as long as you're all right, lass, I'm not worried.
Oh, she'll be okay. I pointed to her left flank. You can see her stomach's going down already. As I spoke, Dorothy belched pleasurably and began to nose interestedly at her hay rack. The farmer gazed at her fondly.
Isn't that grand to see? She's ready for a grub again.
And if she hadn't got her tongue round the elastic, that lot would have gone right down and killed her.
I really don't think it would, you know.
It's amazing what ruminants can carry around in their stomachs. I once found a bicycle tire inside a cow when I was operating for something else. The tire didn't seem to be bothering her in the least.
I see.
Mr. Kirby rubbed his chin.
So Dorothy might have wandered around with them drawers inside her for years.
Well, it's possible. You'd never have known what became of them.
By God, that's right,
Mr. Kirby said, and for a moment I thought he was going to start giggling again, but he mastered himself and seized my arm.
But I don't know what I'm keeping you out here for, lad. You must come in and have a bit of Christmas cake.